Just when you think I might have exhausted everything I had to say about this through mentality, I find that I had another thought yesterday about this, and far be it from me to keep this thought from you. So important is it. Good morning, everyone. This is Martin Zender. You are at the Revelation Series. I have another light employed here. It's this little thing right here. So it adds another element to my tableau here at the studio. This is going to better enable me to read my scriptures. Look at this thing. This looks like a miracle. A light at the end of a stick. I got this at Walmart for $6. It's not the bunker light, no, but it will suffice. Adds another element of mystery and intrigue to my setting here. Now, the through mentality. Think of this. I'm going to get to Babylon. That's the thing we're doing here. The secret of Babylon. Why it's so disgusting. Why Babylon is a city on the plains of the Tigris and the Euphrates River. Why it's literal, not figurative. What the shock was when John saw Babylon the Great. He's shocked. Why? I'm going to tell you why. It's going to help to explain why this is why so much time is dedicated to the destruction, a description of the destruction of this city, and why Babylon is not a revived Roman Empire. In the meantime, think of billiards. I know. I haven't changed the topic, believe it or not. Think of kicking a field goal, a football player kicking a field goal, or a soccer player kicking a penalty kick. Or I want you to think of a baseball player throwing a baseball. While you're at it, think of a kid with a frisbee throwing it so that his dog can run after and catch it. All of these, and I want you to think of this. Think of a basketball player at the free throw line, ready to shoot a basketball as he puts it in. What do all these people involved in some sort of athletics have in common? They must all do one thing. The billiard player, the basketball player, I didn't mention the golfer. The golfer, as he strokes a putt or as he sends the ball sailing down the fairway on a drive. All of these different people I mentioned, the most critical element of all their activities is the follow through. The guy kicking the field goal, you follow through. You don't just kick the football and then you kick it through the football. You kick through the football. When you're playing billiards, or pool, as we commoners like to call it, when you grab that cue, you stroke through the cue ball. Same with a soccer player. He's kicking the ball. And on it goes. It's the follow through. And you see this most definitely when these basketball players take their three-point shots. Boom. They take their shots and the arm keeps going. It keeps going. This is a fantastic truth. It's part of the through mentality. But now we're not only talking about a mentality, but we're talking about entering into the kingdom. Let me tell you what I used to say, and I'm not saying this anymore. Shame on me for saying this. I used to say to God, or to the Lord, I think, who did I say this to? Did I say this to the Lord? I said this to Jesus Christ. I said, when you snatch me away, look, I do want to enter into my calling among the celestials. I will do what you will have me do. But if you could see clear to string up a hammock for me for, you know, a couple hundred years, because I need a long rest. This was my thinking. And I thought, and then, after a little vacation, when I can just get used to my new environment, visit some places here on Earth that I might miss, then we'll go ahead and get on with the work. But, ladies and gentlemen, I was not then possessed of the through mentality. The through mentality is now delivering me from this crazy idea that I would need some sort of celestial hammock, like string together Orion and the Southern Cross and just give me a nice place to rest. No, I don't want it. I don't want a place to rest. If I'm that exhausted here, if I'm that desperate to be done with things, then I'm not pacing myself. There's a problem. I am not properly apprehending the Aeonian times and my place in them. I'm too busy having a terminus mentality. Can't wait to get out of here. Can't wait to get out of here. And while it's true I want to get out of here, I can't, let me put it this way, I can't erect a giant wall between this eon and the next eon. Because, see, Paul has already invited us to have a through mentality with this realization. Paul says in, this is 2 Corinthians 10:11, maybe 1 Corinthians 10:11. I know there's not a 3 Corinthians, so don't pull that on me. Paul says that the consummations of the eons have attained to us. The consummations of the eons. Let me explain this strange turn of phrase. It means that everything the eons are designed to do, including eons 4 and 5, especially eons 4 and 5, the blessings of the nations coming to God at the end of eon 4, and at the end of eon 5, of course, the consummation when death is abolished and all return to God. God has given us the end of the story from the beginning. So we already have this apprehension, you see. And so this is to animate us, as it is doing with me this morning. This is supposed to bring us a feeling of peace in the midst of still being stuck in Eon 3. So it's a through mentality. Yes, Eon 3 is going to end, but we're already thinking about the coming glories. We're already thinking about the world of the celestial realm, even though we can't hardly imagine it, we've never seen it. Nevertheless, we know that God is in it, and he's bringing us there to be with him. Jesus Christ is personally coming here to take us. So my mind now, I'm thinking of the follow-through. The follow-through. I want to kick a winning field goal in this life. I've often compared myself to Michael Jordan, who in the fourth quarter used to go to his teammates when a game was on the line and there's 1 minute left in the fourth quarter. Jordan would go into the huddle on the sideline and say, give me the damn ball. Just give me the damn ball. I'm going to score. That's me. I feel that way. Just give me the damn ball. You need the last member of the body of Christ brought into the fold? Give me the damn ball. I'll do it. So I don't look at this as pride or braggadocio or anything. I look at it as I'm a man doing my job. I'm a man who loves my job. I embrace it. But in the Jordan scenario, he makes that last shot, which he often did. Game's over. Game's over. He goes to the locker room, smokes a cigar, gambles away his money, whatever else he does. So that's not me. That's not me. That's not you. This is what I would rather do. I would rather follow through with that shot and walk into the next world. Walk into the next world still scoring in this one. How am I going to put this? I'm not thinking anymore of a iron curtain between this world and the next world, as if I'm going to be doing some completely different thing. I might be, but in my mind, I'm already going to be doing the same thing. I'm going to be reveling in Christ and God. I'm going to be appreciating love and grace. I'm filled with purpose now, and I will be filled with purpose then. These are a lot of things that I will have in common then with things I'm doing now. Yes, there are going to be some vital differences. And I love these differences. I won't have to stop and use the bathroom. I won't have to drink a gallon of water a day. I won't have to sleep every night to restore my frame. I won't have to use underarm deodorant every day to keep the stench of mortality from bothering the nasal cavities of other people. So I'll be delivered of all this crap. But I'm not going to. This does exactly what the run analogy does. The run analogy meaning, can you go another 4 miles? Can you go another 10 miles? It keeps you from stupidly exhausting yourself in this life. It keeps you from the terminus mentality. I'm finally done with this. Now I can die. Give me a hammock. See? See? That's what I used to think. Give me a hammock. Because maybe in that case, I'm not running the race with intelligence. I read an interesting book about ultramarathoning. The man's name was, what was his name? I don't know, and it doesn't matter. But he talked about running his first marathon. A marathon is a 26.2 mile distance race, not a run, a race. And this man ran a respectable time in the marathon, but he was so exhausted when he finished it, he collapsed. At the finish line, he's sitting down, looking defeated, even though he just ran a great time. Well, the man's father came up to him and said, "Son, why can't you run with class?" "Hey, what do you mean, Dad, run with class? Other people have run the marathon and they're walking off on their 2 feet, drinking Gatorade, accepting the congratulations of the crowd. What are you doing here sitting? I just ran a marathon, Dad. Give me a break." So he was upset, but he later realized that, you know, my dad was right. My dad was right. I should have run the marathon well to the best of my ability, but in such possession of myself that at the finish of the race, not to say you would be fresh, but that you would finish vertically, respectably, not done, finished. Kaput. I remember watching Ironman competition once from Hawaii. You know, these people run marathons, they bicycle 112 miles, and they swim a couple miles in the ocean. One person was so devastated by the end of the race, the last half mile. They're limping, they're falling down, they're crapping themselves, and the crowd was going, "Yeah!" I'm going like, what the hell is wrong with your training regimen? You did something wrong. I didn't look upon that person as a hero, but as a ill-trained doofus. It was embarrassing, to tell you the truth. Well, true. If someone had been hit by a car during the Ironman competition and then continued, say, with two broken legs and a missing head or something, that would have been very impressive. But this person just didn't either prepare for the heat, prepare for the distance, did not prepare for much of anything. And they're crapping them. They have poop running down their legs at the end of the Ironman competition. I was not impressed. What I am impressed by is to see these, I like to go to YouTube. I told you that. I told you I like to go watch some musical acts. I also like to watch Olympic finals. I like to watch epic races, track and field especially. And I'm amazed at these people can run world record times, say in the 800 meters. And when they finish, it looks like they just took a walk to the grocery store. They're totally in possession of themselves. They're waving at the crowd. They're smiling. They're blowing kisses to their many admirers. And wow, there's a person who had a through mentality. And you've seen these idiots. I saw also a video of people who are running a race and they think they've won. They're still 20 yards from or 20 meters from the finish line, but they're already waving to the crowd. This is a premature through mentality. And what inevitably happens, not inevitably, but in certain embarrassing situations, they are overtaken an inch from the finish line by somebody who's still taking the race seriously. You can blow kisses after the race. Let's run through the finish line. Through the finish line. Don't stop early. So I'm not telling you to stop early. No. But I'm also not telling you to collapse at the finish line. I'm telling you, this is a revelation, I think. I'm telling you that what you're doing now is somewhat kind of maybe like what you're going to be doing then in the next life. Because God is grooming you. He's grooming each of us for the tasks that we will have. And our grooming, our training is specific to our calling. So he's not going to prepare you in this life for something that when you enter the next life is completely different. It's not like you're going to be looking around in the celestials and look back at your life and say, what was all that for? Because this is so different. Like, you trained me for the decathlon, and here I am at the finals at the 100-meter breaststroke. And this is ridiculous. No, he's not going to do that. If your calling is the 100-meter breaststroke, then you will be trained for that in this life. Are you following me? This is more on the through mentality. And I realize that I don't want that hammock. No, keep the hammock. I don't want the hammock. I want to walk into my next calling, armed and dangerous, with the training, with the fitness, with the intelligence, with the knowledge, with realization and recognition that God has given me in this life. Let's finish the race. It is about to finish. And let's not collapse. Let's not exhaust ourselves. Let's be manly. Let's be sturdy. And if necessary, we must pace ourselves. Maybe you're working too hard. Maybe you're not working hard enough. I don't know. Find that balance. And God is going to use that balance to bring you victoriously into the next world.